At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
We, in the last couple of days, have learned more about the Huerman House and Asa Elrup, his wife, outside quite a bit. But more importantly, they're pets. There's a lot of speculation that I think can fairly be done about Miss Elrup. But when it comes down to, yes, you're tearing a house apart, you're the police, you're the investigators, you're the FBI, but to not seem to have a lot of regard for people's pets. Their two cats were actually taken to a kill shelter. Luckily, they did get a hold of them before they were euthanized. But there's a PR battle that goes on with anything like this. Yes, you seem to have found the Long Island serial killer, but at the same point, there's other people there. Do we really need to screw that part up and take their pets to the kill shelter?
Yeah, that's that. I had not heard that. That is really tragic, really horrifying. The lady is battling breast cancer, I understand. And I just can't imagine, you know, really, you wonder how people keep going sometimes. Sure. So that's really awful.
Yeah, I mean, the hell that she's going through, it just, I get ripping through the house. I get ripping up your bed, ripping up the couch. You're talking about the serial killer. But I don't know, the pets just seem a bit much, where it just seems to quite an extreme to go to when it wasn't just Rex living at the house. And I think that could maybe there's to be a little bit softer touch, if you will, when it comes to things like that, because there's nothing that's going to turn people away from you more than screwing with their pets, including the general public. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And you think about the kids in this situation and it's like, you know, where is it? We're all for justice, but let's have a heart at the same time, you know, and have some compassion and do the right thing. Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard.
Huerman is reportedly meeting with clergymen once a week while in jail. The top cop says that he's been off suicide watch and is pretty much emotionless when viewed. What do you think Rex is having discussions with the clergy about?
Yeah, maybe his faith as a child, right? Is he going back and revisiting old memories, reading Bible verses that offer him comfort? And is it just because it looks good on the surface? Is it because he's really getting some kind of, you know, emotional support out of the process? I don't know, but it at least breaks up the week for him, I guess.
With people like Huerman, do they have the ability to look back at their life at the age he is now and maybe go, how did I turn into this monster that I am? Do they have that ability to retrospectively look at their lives and introspectively look at their lives and maybe say this, I don't know how I got off this track, but I went this far. Does that ever happen?
I think they're capable of doing a review, but are they capable of feeling regret about it? Maybe to some degree, some curiosity, because they do know they're different than other people, but usually that's kind of a source of pride rather than a source of shame or regret.
Yeah.
But this is the weird thing about the compartmentalization that these folks have, is that they can say and appear to feel normal things, but it's a very thin veneer. It's not very deep. Mm. And so the conversations with clergy may sound appropriate. You know, there may be some kind of a life review and an attempt to make sense of the story. But is it something that he actually has remorse about? That's the piece that's probably missing. It may be more of an intellectual curiosity. And again, getting some attention, and the attention may be enjoyable to him at this point.
Does anything ever slow or stop these people when they are active other than being caught? Is there ever, you know, the come to Jesus moment or just something? Do they ever get scared enough to stop, or do they physically have to be restrained in some way, shape, or form, whether by being caught, going to jail, dying, what have you, to slow someone like this down from continuing on their path?
I think a lot of them do eventually stop. If they live to be elderly, they slow down as they get older, and many of them have stopped. But that doesn't mean the fantasy stopped. You know, it doesn't mean they give up the souvenirs that they've kept from their victims. You know, even a very old serial killer, when he's captured at some point, may still have the souvenirs, even if it's been decades since he actually killed someone. So they eventually may get to a point where they can live and gain enough satisfaction from their fantasies that they don't actually go out and engage in the killings anymore.
How many of these types of individuals do you think live among us in the quiet that are just, you know, it's the guy standing in front of you at Walgreens getting his prescription. He's an old man, looks harmless. Just considering the technology that existed years ago versus the technology that exists today to hone in and find people the way that we do now, there's countless, you know, serial murders. There's countless cold cases out there that have never been found out. And I would imagine with that, there's countless people who have never been caught as well. And unless somehow the DNA matches up or there's even the DNA to compare to some of these cases, many of these will never be caught. And these people will just go on living their lives and never anyone knowing the wiser. Is that part of the compartmentalization that they're able to move forward like that? Are they ever able to, do they ever block these things out to be able to move on and live a normal life as grandma or grandpa?
Yeah, apparently they do compartmentalize so well that many times their children don't know, their grandchildren don't know, their spouses don't know. And the most dangerous predators can look like fine, upstanding people. Sadists often present as the exact opposite of what they are. And I think that makes us all uneasy. I think certainly women who are dating need to keep that in mind, that you really need to know someone for a long time before you actually know them. I always tell people, you know, long engagements, the longer the better, really, before you make a commitment to someone, because we really have no way of knowing how many people are there out there who engage in behaviors like this. We think it's a tiny percentage of the population, or there would be even more bodies than there are. But how would we ever really know? And how many people are there who fantasize about it, but don't actually do it? But that's still problematic.
Sure. Are there ever signs with people like this, even especially when they get older, ones that may not have ever been caught that anyone should look out for, of, I don't know, the way that they tell a story, the way that they may have certain weird obsessions and things of that nature that may be, a bit off, not saying anything illegal or dangerous, but are there ever tells, or are they just so good at being chameleons, that's how they're able to get away with things and not ever tip anyone off?
Yeah, it's so hard to say because, you know, we can think about, you know, serial killers, you know, children, a red flag in children, or they're fascinated with death and sometimes sadistic kinds of violence, mm-hmm. setting fires or torturing animals. But then when we look at adults, how many adults like sadistic horror movies? You know, I mean, that's a huge percentage of our population. Yeah. I'm not one of them, but it's very common.
Sure.
And so I think it's very hard to know what are signs. I think if someone is cold, callous, predatory, doesn't seem to have much of a moral conscience, that doesn't mean they're a serial killer by any means, but it does mean they're not a very nice person. And that's something that we do need to be aware of. But it's really hard. Yeah, if we could look into everyone's mind, I think we would all be shocked.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.